Crazy love is the perfect title for the book. When Jesus asked, what is the greatest commandment? Or when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He responded with love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Tomlin says, as Francis so brilliantly illustrates, the life that Jesus calls us to is absolute craziness to the world. Sure, it's fine and politically correct to believe in God, but to really love him is a whole different story. Yeah, it's nice and generous to give to the needy at Christmas or after some disaster, but to sacrifice your own comfort and welfare for another may look like madness to a safe and undisturbed world. He says, I am challenged to the core by the pages you're about to read. I am excited that you are diving into this much-needed book. I encourage you to face up to the convictions of crazy love. I know your heart and your spirit will be stirred again for your first love, God. This Crazy Love series, let me just say a few comments of introduction. The series Crazy Love is most definitely in line with our ECC mission that says we are committed in simplicity. Hopefully, working on that. We are committed in simplicity to knowing God, loving people, serving the world. This series is like a laser to the knowing God portion of that mission statement. But also, I pray and believe and think that it will have some spillover impact on the other two phrases in that mission statement. This series is not quite like many of our message series that we've done. It's not like working through a book of the Bible that, you know, is a little more systematic, you'd say, or structured, approaching the various topics and ideas put forward, about what we need to know and what we need to do and how we need to live in a formatted way. And actually, we do need to come back regularly to those types of Sunday morning series, maybe even a little more than we have in the last couple of years. But this crazy love, it's not like that so much, nor is it a study like some topical series where one idea is put forward and then another separate idea that fits well with the previous one, and you know, it kind of builds. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. This certainly builds, and you will sense that, I hope, and feel that, but there's a fair bit of overlap from week to week. There's some appropriate redundancy, and that's intentional, because I think sometimes we need to just slow down on the information intake, right? Information overload. And we need to have times where we just soak in the truth and the heart. And in this case, it's applicable to soak in this message of God's immense love for us, which hopefully leads to our being crazy in love with Christ. And then results in us following Jesus passionately, fully, assertively, all of those things. I would describe this study as a little more fluid than most that we've done. It's a journey, and expect it to be. It's definitely, I believe, going to be an experience. You'll hear some challenging scriptures on Sundays and in your small groups about what it means to be crazy in love with Jesus and what following Christ as a true disciple looks like according to the New Testament. I would also put out a word of warning about this series. For some of you, at times, you will feel, if I can put it this way, you will feel a chafing challenge more than a feel-good inspirational ride. And if at any point for you it's that, that's okay. That's a good thing, because there's a very good chance, if you're feeling that chafing, there's a very good chance that that challenge is precisely what you need. So keep that in mind. And to that statement, I add my own personal testimony, as probably nine other former Haiti mission team members from a year ago when we read this book together. I felt at times that challenge. Most often, I think it was simply the result of the real struggle with full surrender to God that we all deal with at times in various areas of our life. Does that make sense? Francis Chan will say some things that you may disagree with, or that you may disagree with initially. That's okay. Don't need to get all worked up about it. Don't take that out on your small group leader. Be nice to them. They're good people. But just can I encourage you to ponder what is said, what is put forward. Prayerfully, you don't have to agree, but prayerfully ponder what you hear. Spend time in the scriptures predominantly, and the scripture passages that are referred to in this message and in the small group DVD session. Really, take time, note them, unpack them, meditate on them in the coming weeks and months, along with your God sightings Bible reading. I encourage you to do that. I'm convinced. I've been believing and been praying, and others, leaders have as well, that this series I believe it has the potential, if we're open, if our hearts are open to God, to deeply impact our church's spiritual temperature. And as a result, then our community as well. God doesn't change and shape our hearts to make us feel good. No, he shapes us to effectively share his love and his message of grace with others. And so there's the potential God ramifications of these next 8 or 10 weeks are really significant. So pray with me on that. I've been praying, as has our small group lead team and small group leaders, for this deep spiritual growth and for greater degrees of love for Christ in all of our hearts. Passion for Jesus Christ would be cultivated in our hearts as a result of this series. So can I just ask you to dial in to God's truth that this series puts forward? And so let's pray together even now that passionate love and commitment will, passionate love for God and commitment to Him will just revolutionize our lives, our relationships, our priorities, our outlook on life, our giving, our finances, our relationships, and the potential here is significant. I believe that. So let's join with me, if you would, and just let's commit this next couple of months to God. So, Lord Jesus, we pause right now. This is a moment, God, of declaration, declaring our willingness to allow you to speak and work in us as individuals as you see fit. We surrender to your will today and in the coming days and weeks of this study. And for the many that are in small groups, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that would be a rich, helpful, mutually enriching, iron sharpening, iron type of experience. God, we commit this Crazy Love series to you. Would you please have your way in our lives individually and in our life as a church family? And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm excited. I'm excited about this. So, let's roll. There's an introduction on crazylovebook.com. You might want to check it out. crazylovebook.com website. There's an introduction, a 2-minute introduction that Francis Chan gives. So meet the author and listen to what he says.
I grew up going to church, and my idea of Christianity and following Jesus was pretty simple. Just don't do the things that God hates. In other words, try not to cuss. Try not to drink too much, don't have sex outside of marriage, go to church every Sunday. My view of God and following Him was pretty narrow. And things began to change when I started reading the Bible for myself. And I'd read the way that God would describe Himself. And I'd get these images of God where I'd go, no way, no one ever told me how huge He was. And once I got this high view of God, it changed everything in my life. It changed the way that I prayed to Him. It changed the way I sang to Him. It changed the way I lived everyday life. And I guess my hope in this book is that I'll help you gain this big view of God. because a huge view of God changes everything. You start realizing, wait, that's the God who sent his son to die for me? That's insane. And when you realize, wait, he did that for me, shouldn't my response be just as crazy? And shouldn't I respond with this amazing, crazy love where I would do anything for him? I'm glad you're using this online resource, because what I try to do with every chapter is give you a few questions. Just questions that I'm going to ask that will get you to probe into your life to evaluate, am I showing God this type of crazy love that I ought to be showing him? Because my hope is that this is more than just reading a book, but it would actually be an experience. And I'd like to take you on this journey where we have a higher view of God and it causes a greater response toward him.
Chan refers to us growing and showing crazy love for Jesus, but I think in order for us to go there, to be there, that we need to move into deeper levels of love and devotion for God. In order for that to happen, we must know how much we are loved by him. And that may be very familiar talk to most of you, or maybe not. But if it is, don't let the simplicity of what is being said here just kind of cause you to lose the essence and the potential of it. God's heart is filled with love for you. Put your name in there. Brief explanation about the Sunday and the small group session tie-in. Over these weeks, I think you'll find that in some of the coming weeks, the Sunday speaker will unpack some of the information in a little bit of a different way than the DVD session takes it in your small groups that same week, and that's good, that's okay. That's probably a little bit of the case today. So today, I challenge you to stop, look, and feel. Stop, look, and feel. Key words related to our response to God's incredible love for us. So, stop. Stop. Stop ringing. Just stop. What comes to your mind when you hear that word stop? We don't like that word very much, do we? Most often. We didn't like it when we were preschoolers and we were teasing our sister and mom said, stop. Something in us resented being told that. Who here likes a four-way stop? I mean, man, stopping slows my progress, doesn't it? But Jason, we do stop. Jason's an RCMP officer. We stop, right? Thank you. Yeah, love stopping, yeah, right. Stop. You know what? God gently tells us that there are times when we just need to stop. And there's probably no more concise or clear verse on this than Psalm 46, verse 10. It simply says that God tells us, be still, be still, and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. When we know he is God, we then know he's in control. But we may never give him the opportunity to take control if we never stop. If we never are still long enough to give him the reins of our life. Now, reins, horse and buggy days are gone, so you give him the joystick of, no, that's 80s, right? Help me out, young people. What's the controller, right? Ah, there it is. The new word for the future. I want to just stop. And I want to give God the controller of my life. That makes sense because he created me. That makes sense because he loves me more than anybody ever could. So I'm going to give him controller of my life. God's word for some of you today may simply be stop in his presence. And that's it. That's what you take from here. Then do it. Experience God. Experience his love for you. Experience the comfort and strength of his presence by stopping long enough to let him show you that. Chan words it in chapter 1 of the book. He calls the chapter Stop Praying. That's interesting. Ever heard a Christian author say that? He says, stop praying. LOL. Just had to throw that in there. That just came to my mind. They use it quite a bit these days, you know. 2 days ago, one of my daughters, won't say who, Clarissa, we were texting, and this morning I went back in and I counted the words. And some of the words were R. And I do that too. I'm with it. You, like R, you, right? Over 40s. R, you, just R, you. With me? Yeah. I do that. And she did. Some of the words were, but there was 14 words in two little texts. Three times in those 14 words. LOL. LOL. Awesome. Anyway, that's, you used to write letters and you'd put a little happy face. I mean, I still do that sometimes. Some of you know that, right? Where is that going? I have no idea. Anyway, Chan writes, what if I said, in chapter 1, he goes, what if I said, stop praying? Well, Chan, you already did. It's the chapter, it's chapter 1 title. What if I said, stop praying? What if I told you to stop talking at God for a while and instead to take a long, hard look at him before you speak another word? In the chapter, Chan goes on to talk a little bit about how we should not always, good counsel here, read it, listen. We should not always rush into God's presence, talking lots, as we most often do, if you're like me. We do that, don't we? Telling God how we think this or that situation should end up. Or giving God, our great insight into how that circumstance should be supernaturally taken care of. Many times, almost giving God, the creator of the universe, advice on the way we think things should go. The best way, based on my view of eternity and great wisdom and all of that. LOL. I'm not talking against faith and those times when God just puts it in our heart that this is the way I'm to pray and I go for it. That's awesome. That needs to be part of our world of interaction with God as well. But there's something to what Chan is challenging us here on. And that the Word of God challenges us on by this simple, concise verse in Psalm 46:10. Be still. God, sometimes when I pray, is probably up there. Marlo, would you just... Are you allowed to say shut up in church? Do you think God would say... God might say that to me once in a while. Be still and hear and feel my heart for you. Be still and know that I'm in control. Be still and know I'm God. I see that part of you. God's saying that to you. I see that part of your life that is so tough right now. But stop. Stop. And know that I'm God. Maybe you think of some other things when you hear that word stop along with this verse from Psalm 46:10. Maybe it's just stop the busyness. Maybe it's stop the endless flurry of activity. Stop driving or striving rather to get God's attention. Maybe that's it. Stop striving to get God's attention, would you? We do that too. He sees every one of us. He sees you already. He knew you before you were born, the Bible says. Come on, let's believe, like we say we do, let's believe the word of God on this. You've got his attention already, fully. Maybe for you, the challenge coming out of the simple word stop is to stop working to gain God's approval. Think about that one. Or you may have felt that you needed to do that with an earthly parent, but it's not so with God. It's not the case. Listen, And Janelle, you had a variation of this earlier, and I had this in my notes over there. There's nothing that you can do. Some of you heard this before. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more than He does already. And there is nothing you can do that can possibly cause Him to love you less than He does. That's a profound statement. That's a freeing statement. Some of you need to latch onto it because it's at its core, it's biblical. Now, it doesn't mean God doesn't call us to obedience. Don't take it that far. There's truth there that some of you need to hear. Maybe for you, the word stop is stop the pace or at least throttle back on it. Do you really need to work that much for weeks and weeks and months on end so that your kids forget what you look like? Or maybe it's stopped so we can evaluate where we're pouring our energy. Hours, hours, and hours a week into this or that. That just may not matter that much in eternity. I don't know. That's you need to think, pray, talk to God about those things. Stop the endless flurry of activity. Why is it that the ancient discipline of solitude, the ancient spiritual discipline of solitude and silence and waiting have been a part of in history, the lives of spiritual giants down through the centuries, even this past century? I mean, that has to tell us something about the value. It has to tell us something about the importance of just stopping as a spiritual discipline. And again, stopping is hard for most of us. Stopping is hard for the driven person. Stopping is hard for the personable person who always likes, relational flurry activity. Stopping is hard for most of us because of the pace of our culture. I mean, if we slow down, people will think we're lazy. Stopping is hard. There's no question. Did I say that yet? Yeah. Stopping is hard. Let me read from one of the spiritual discipline handouts that I put together for our prayer gatherings early in January. And they're at the back table, this green sheet. You might want to pick one up. There's copies there. Some of you need to pick it up, actually. You need to practice what I'm talking about here. From the handout, it says that the discipline of silence and stopping are close cousins. The handout says, in this age of technology and information, the idea of carving out time for silence and solitude is foreign to most of us. In our culture, we are addicted to being connected and to the constant stream of information, tweets, status updates. There's a spiritual disciplines handbook that I used as a resource for this most of this information. And the author in that handbook says this, silence challenges our cultural addiction to amusements, words, music, advertising, noise, alarms, voices. Silence asks for patience and waiting. And both silence and waiting make us uncomfortable. She says, they seem unproductive. So when we come upon silence, we fill it. We can't stop long enough. We got to fill it with something. And believe me, you can ask my wife, I struggle with this very thing. I can fill it with something. She says, we cram it with something else we can learn or do or achieve. And I would add, as we do that, we forget, we neglect, we lose out on the potential enriching that comes with silence in the presence of God. Scriptural reminder from Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Stop. When was the last time you stopped and were still for the express purpose of sensing God and knowing Him deeper and feeling His love and receiving His peace? Maybe even hearing His voice, that whisper, that thought, that idea, that confirmation that He puts in your mind. It's tough to experience that very much without this spiritual discipline operative in our life. Being still helps us to look. And when we look, we see. Look. Stop. Look. We look and we gaze upon God, allowing our heart to be amazed and our mind to be overwhelmed by His awesomeness and His love for me. We can start by looking at the universe, created for us to enjoy and marvel at, created so that we would get a picture of how large God's heart is for us. And in observing it, it helps us know God, know who God is, how amazing He is, how powerful He is, how big He is. And that he's more than able. More than able to handle the problems I face in my relatively minuscule space and time. Psalm 19, 1-4 says, "The heavens proclaim." Yeah, you've done it on a dark night and looked up. Maybe you've looked at the northern lights, or you've looked on the computer at pictures they have from way out there. The heavens, the universe, the galaxies. What we're discovering today, the writer of the psalm, when he wrote Psalm 19, looked up and saw with amazement, wow, that's beautiful. He had no idea. No idea, I don't think. Unless God supernaturally revealed it to him, which could happen. But I don't think he really had an idea of what we know today about what's out there. And I was going to show you a 3-minute clip, but I'm not now. I think it's on that crazylovebook.com website where Chan shows the backing up. It starts in a mountain in California. We launch from there, and we go back a little bit, and we go back a little bit, and we go back past the sun. We see our small Milky Way galaxy that, as you go however billion miles away, it just one of just a mass of galaxies. Pretty cool video. Sorry, running out of time. But you can ask me, and I can send it to you. I forget if it's on the that crazylovebook.com. website or not, but it's pretty cool. That's the God that we're going to stop and enjoy His presence and experience His grace and power. And Psalm 19, 1-4, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make Him known. They make God known. The stars, the galaxies, the universe, it makes God known. Psalm 19, verse 3, they speak. Without a sound or word, their voice is never heard. Yet their message, the universe, the stars, the heavens, their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. Pretty cool. Put the reality of the vastness of the universe that shows how big our God is, put that together with what the Bible says about who we are. Sinners, separate from God because of our sin. Sinners before a holy God. Put those two things together. And the fact that God has made such a huge gesture and taken such a giant step toward us through the cross, that's absolutely amazing. Stop and look at that. Just look at that for a moment. Again, for many of you, again. We must look at the cross. We look at creation, we look at the cross, where our Creator's love was ultimately and so powerfully displayed. You want to expand your understanding of who God is? Look at the cross and what happened there. And what He gave up for you there at the cross. And look His direction. Look to the cross. Look to the heavens as you ponder God. With your spirit, turn your spirit toward God. You know, turn with that unquantifiable part of you that requires faith, but that was created specifically for the purpose of your spirit connecting relationally with the Spirit of God. Powerful, mind-boggling. Turn your heart toward Him. I encourage you this morning. That's a decision, though, that every one of us need to make. Sometimes numerous times throughout the day as we walk through this life. You know what I mean? Stop. Look God's direction. Romans 1:20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. God has laid it out. God has made the way. God has bridged the gap through the cross, saying, would you just stop? Look my direction. Because I love you. So very much. When we truly stop and look His direction, we there's a feel part to this. And that's where we're going to end up here. Feel. Stop, look, feel. Feel his heart for you. Some of you need to feel that to bring hope this morning, the way things have been going, where you're at spiritually. You need to feel. And I encourage you to do that. Feel his deep love for you. What does that feel like? Feel the truth of the many passages in the Psalms that talk about various aspects of God's care and attention and focus on you and his love for you. Psalm 13:5-6, but I trust in your unfailing love, the psalmist, the writer says. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Psalm 16:11, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy and eternal pleasures at your right hand. That's awesome. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. You can write those down. The website will have the slides of this message, so you can get those and ponder those prayerfully. Think about it. To be loved by the creator of the universe. Ponder that. Let that reality move you. Feel. It's okay. Some of you need a little extra encouragement in this feel stuff. It's okay. It's good to feel God's incredible, incredible, mind-boggling love for you. Allow the impact of this reality, the impact of that truth to settle your mind down. Let it fill you and bring a sense of security to your life, to your heart. Let it impact your life's priorities. Let it do whatever you sense God wants it to do, this reality. As we stop and look, I'm confident that you will feel God's love. You'll feel his character, his holiness. You'll feel his nearness when at times he feels far away. Yet feeling God's presence can sometimes be squeezed out by a good many things, can't it? I quote the author of Crazy Love again. He says, it may sound unchristian to say that on some mornings I don't feel like loving God, or I just forget to, but I do. He says, in our world where hundreds of things distract us from God, we have to intentionally and consistently remind ourselves of him. That's a very honest expression, isn't it? And I appreciate that he would make that, because I think that that's something that a lot of us relate to. Many people I think a statement like that will help alleviate false guilt. I appreciate his honesty. Some of you need to allow yourself to feel. Some of you may say, well, I'm not wired that way. You're actually wrong about that self-assessment. If I may be so bold to put that forward, I'm just suggesting. Some of you may say, well, I'm not that kind of person. Yeah, you are. We may show it differently from one another, but some of you are just afraid to feel. Or you refuse to go anywhere close to feeling because a variety of reasons. You can probably think of why it's the case for you, if that is the case for you. Could be misguided perceptions that you have, or could be abuses you've seen or experienced in your past, whatever. But the reality is that God made you body, mind, spirit to connect with God, soul to have that interaction with others, personality, and emotions. If God's big enough to feel grief, that's feeling. I can probably be okay with this feelings thing. It's undeniable that through Scripture we see the God that created us, the God that we serve, knows about this thing called feel. He does. Let yourself feel his love and his presence today. And daily, let yourself go there. Stop, look, and feel. I want to conclude with a video clip here right now. We can roll that DVD.
For my good. See, that'll show by your lifestyle. Look, this isn't my message. This is the message of the Bible. It's God's love letter to you. See, these aren't just random thoughts that you can casually give or take. Your whole eternal destiny rides on this. You can know today for sure that you're going to heaven. It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus rituals. It's just Jesus alone. It's not Jesus or something else. God's provided one way to escape his wrath and enjoy friendship with him forever. The God of the universe is crazy about you and screaming out for your attention. So don't just walk away and go back to your routine. This could be the greatest day of your life. Stop and think.
God, for those of us in this room who know you personally, we've embraced you, we've put our faith in you, we've trusted you, Jesus, as the forgiver of our sin, and we've asked you to be the leader of our life. In this moment, may we just determine to respond to the truth of your word in this area as you would guide us to and lead us to and want us to. Help us. Take time to stop in your presence regularly. To look your direction through reading your word, through looking at the cross, and reflecting on the power of it and what Jesus did there. Or to getting out on a dark night and looking at your awesome creation, or climbing that mountain, or skiing down that mountain and experiencing the creation of God firsthand. All expressions of your love for us. Help us to stop and look at that regularly. As Christ followers, help us to do that. And to feel as a result your presence and your care for us. God, we're so grateful for your grace in our lives. And God, in this moment, I also pray for those in the gathering who may not know you personally. And some of this is just really a steep learning curve at this moment, or coming to understand that the God who created them wants to know them and walk with them in this life and into eternity. Wow, how do I get there? Maybe someone's asking. God, I pray in this moment that you would reveal your love deeply to them. May they know that in this moment they can think the words of invitation, of welcome to you, to say, God, I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to serve you. I want to walk with you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to the cross to deal with my failures, to deal with my sin, to bring me hope. Thank you, Jesus. But by the power of God, you rose from the dead. And you give me life eternal because of that. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, someone thinks those words, or something like those words, that expression of a heart, of an eager, genuine heart, turning your direction, you hear. Let them know that you hear in the instant. They are brought into your eternal family, and that's very exciting. The angels in heaven rejoice, your word says. And we join with them. So I pray in this moment for those that are in that decision-making zone, that your spirit would draw them, make your truth clear, and as they step across the line of faith to place their trust in you, that they would experience your joy and the assurance of eternal salvation. May that be a gift that some receive this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word, Lord, this morning. Thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If today was a day where you prayed, as I was expressing there a moment ago, an openness to God to invite Him into your life, I would love to hear about that. Maybe you came with somebody. Tell them. We've got a little booklet up here called Knowing Jesus Personally. You can come and take one of those, and I think there'll be some. And maybe you still got questions and you're not there yet. That's good. That's okay. Actually, let me rephrase that. I would say that's not good, but that's okay. If I encourage you to continue in the process of asking questions, of seeking answers, of reading the fourth book of the New Testament. Start there. Read the Gospel of John and learn about Jesus, who He is. You owe it to yourself to do that, don't you? And as part of that process, maybe you want to grab one of these magazines too. You're more than welcome to take one. I'm pretty sure there'll be some things that'll be helpful in your growing into understanding. And I pray that very soon you'll experience God's gift of grace in your life, because it comes your way by your invitation. But if you invited Christ into your life today, I would really love to hear about that. And you can catch me as we dismiss and enjoy interaction together with coffee and tea. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. Go with God this week and keep trusting Him.